Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jules.
Hello, hello, hello. It's time for Inside Matters Talk. How's everyone out there? I want to thank my creator for blessing us to have another Sunday, spend some spiritual time with everyone. We should have a very interesting show today. We're going to be talking about the four agreements, and we're going to go step by step with each one of these agreements. So get ready, get your pen and pencil, because we're just going to explore the four agreements that was written by Don Miguel Ruiz, and I think you'll find it very interesting and fulfilling for your life. I have a host out there. Hello, Jules. We want to talk to you about this Thanksgiving show and let us know. Give us your gratitude list. How you doing?
Oh, I am doing fantabulous. If that is even a word, I am doing that. Fantabulous. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. My mother, she contacted me the other day and she saw my dog online. Can you believe it? Yes, she saw my dog online. And, well, she's not my dog anymore, even though she's my dog. And she's had her surgery, and she's doing wonderful, and she'll be up for adoption soon. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful that she's alive.
I told you.
I know you did.
I told you you were going to see your dog again.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I mean, I believed it, but I didn't believe it, you know. I'm like, yeah, right. And it happened in 1 month. Can you believe that? In exactly 1 month, I saw my dog, and she is so precious. So I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful that I'm going to be spending Thanksgiving with my family. Usually it's at my house, but my brother, the chef, is catering it at his house, so I'll be going up to Virginia. And I'm also grateful that my partner, she's having a little get-together in Memphis, Tennessee, so I'll be going up there too. So I'll be traveling the United States this next week. So I am just so happy and just so thankful that my creator is my creator. And, yeah, that's me. That's me. Happy, happy. So I'm going to give it back to you, Duchess. Thank you. I'll just be going on and going on with my gratitude. Go ahead.
I understand. I'm feeling quite grateful myself these days. I'm going to go and pick up my mother from New York and bring her down my way for Thanksgiving. That's going to be a very interesting trip for me because I will be driving those 6 hours that way by myself, and I'm just not someone that enjoys going east. The traffic east and northeast is just something I don't look forward to, but I do know if I take my time, I'll get there, and I'll be turning around the next day and bringing her back down to Virginia with me. And hopefully she's going to spend a week with me. I have a week's vacation, and I haven't spent that much time with my mother in a long, long while. So I already told everyone that way nobody's getting in the car with me but her, because this is my time, her time, and she gets to see all of them up there all the time anyway. So enough of that word time, okay?
Right.
And I am so happy that you saw Coco online. So how did you see her online? I mean, what was she doing? Just a picture or just sitting there?
It was great because she was in a Halloween costume. She was in a hot dog costume. And she was at this Halloween get-together. And it's Oldie But Goodies. It's a Cocker Spaniel retreat. And it's also in Virginia, and my mother just went online, just to browse, and there she was. And they did a whole write-up a couple of weeks later about her, and she got her surgery in her ear canal, and they're taking care of her. It was just awesome, you know, because you always see that stuff. Oh, yeah, we'll keep her alive, and this time I know that she's perfectly fine, and they didn't badmouth me at all. They just let people know that I just couldn't take care of her anymore, but she was a wonderful dog. I mean, potty trained, everything, just wonderful. So I want to thank my mother out there, you know. I love her to death. Thank you, Mom.
Did she keep her name?
Yes, her name is Coco Beans. So, I mean, my daughter Tiana gave her that name because she's a color of a light, not even a light brown, that sandy brown color, that reddish brown. I don't even know how to explain it, but she looks like
Oh, so she's one
Coco
of those
Beans.
Redhead cocker spaniels, huh?
Yes, very curly, too, looking like a poodle.
Redhead.
But she's not a poodle at all. So I'm thankful for that. Because, I mean, all my children, they're off and doing their own thing, and I had to surrender her off to do her own thing, and hopefully she'll be adopted by loving people that like Cocker Spaniels as well as I do.
So you see, a lot of times our shows transform into realities because the show, when I said, I know you're going to see your dog again, that was the show I think we did where we were talking about your thoughts create your own reality. So when we think things and we want things, we energize stuff and we put it into motion. As a matter, let me tell you something. I have my granddaughter. I had my granddaughter, Nevaeh, here again this weekend. She couldn't stay for the show, but it was really cool because I let her do the energy dowsing with the hangers, the coat hangers stuck in the straws, and I had her doing it. I mean, this really blew her mind. It was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my goodness, Grandma, you are just so powerful, because those things go crazy when I touch them. And so she started doing them, and I was saying, okay, now tell them. Tell it to stop. Tell it to stop moving. And just tell it with your mind. And, oh, she's really good. She's going to be she's a powerful little girl already. You know what I'm saying? So she had fun doing the E-squared energy experiments with me here this weekend. So there are a lot of things. If we listen carefully with the shows and we apply some of the things that we hear or that you and I read or you and I talk about, we can see that a lot of this stuff, it works, you know, but you got to try it. You can't just read a book and not implement it. So,
right.
You ready for Dawn?
Yes, this is going to be fantastic. Like she said,
that's
get your pen,
of...
pencil. If you can't, get a crayon because you would really want to write this stuff down.
Dawn is a term of respect in Hispanic cultures, Latin cultures. Well, Dawn Miguel Ruiz, he was born into a family of healers. And he was raised in, they say, rural Mexico by a curandera. Curandera. That's a healer. So he was raised by his mother, who was a healer, and a Nagual grandfather. So his grandfather was a shaman. And the background on him, his bio was such that they thought that he was going to follow in the footsteps of his mother and his grandfather and do the same thing. But he decided to go off to medical school and become a surgeon. So we're talking someone who wrote this book on the Four Agreements, someone who has a medical book background, a background that is, you know, medicine is quite scientific. But his family had hoped he was going to follow the esoteric Toltec background of healing and teaching and carry that forth in his life, but he became a surgeon. Now, I think, you know, in his bio, it says that he almost died, and he had this near-death experience, and that's what brought him back to his lineage. And that's how he became committed. He committed his life to sharing the wisdom of the ancient Toltec. Now, in the Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz reveals the source of self-limiting beliefs that rob us of joy and create endless suffering. I got many of the notes that I'm sharing, I got it from the Frumi, Rachel Barr. And she does a lot of readings and researching books and sharing this knowledge. She has an MBA and she's a PhD. And so a lot of the notes that I received from her and Don Miguel Ruiz's actual book, The Four Agreements. And The Four Agreements offer a powerful code of conduct that can rapidly transform our lives to a new experience of freedom, true happiness, and love. And we all could use a lot of that. Well, thousands of years ago, the Toltec were known throughout southern Mexico as women and men of knowledge. Now, if you notice, with your Latin cultures, your Hispanic cultures, women and men of knowledge, they put the women there because it's that feminine energy aspect that they put there, and you get your mother's name first and then your father's name after. So your last name is your mother's name first. Your father is attached to that. So they honor the feminine energy. Now, they were scientists and artists who formed a society to explore and conserve the spiritual knowledge and practices of the ancient ones. Now, many of us know about that because, Jules, you and I, we sit down with our ancestors, the ancient ones, and so do Native American cultures and the African cultures, and they respect the ancient wisdom from long ago. So the Nahuals, or the shamans of the Toltec, concealed their ancestral knowledge like many of your African traditions and your Native American traditions because people don't really understand that knowledge. And so the knowledge is passed down sometimes quietly through the generation. And sometimes the practice of the knowledge will skip a generation. Like with me, mine skipped my mother and it jumped to me because I understand the esoteric knowledge through my grandmother's, but my mother never had an interest in being bothered with it. In turn, I share a lot of my knowledge with my daughter, but I share mostly with all of my granddaughters. And it is believed that Don Miguel Ruiz, a Nahual from the Eagle Knight lineage, has been guided to share with us the powerful teachings of the Toltec. I know you're waiting for me to jump into those four agreements, Jules, because
but I have I'm to just sitting here and I'm rocking and I'm just waiting and I'm on needles right now.
But I have to get the background of the author and how he came about these four agreements. So the four agreements, you know, to give the four agreements, you know, more clarity, more understanding, and more substance. Okay.
Okay.
So
I understand.
What the Toltec believe is that before we were born, the humans before us created a big outside dream that we all call society's dream or the dream of the planet. So before we even came here, there was a lot of dreaming going on. The dream of the planet is the collective dream of billions of smaller personal dreams. So there's billions of people on the planet, and I mean there's you know, billions on the planet, and they all have their little small dreams which interject into us and give us our dreams. So this includes all the society's rules, its beliefs, its religions, its different cultures, and ways to be. It's government, it's school, social events, and holidays. The outside dream has so many rules that when a new human is born, okay, we hook the child's attention and introduce these rules to his or her mind as well. So babies come into the world and we hook them in to the dreams. This stuff, that the way we think. Attention is the ability we have to discriminate and to focus only on that which we want to perceive. The adults around us hook our attention and put information into our minds through repetition. That is the way we learn everything we know, by doing it over and over and over again. We learn how to behave in society, what to believe and what not to believe, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, what is good and what is bad, what is beautiful and what is ugly, what is right and what is wrong. Our parents, teachers, and siblings were all trying to hook our attention. We also learn to hook the attention of other humans, and we develop a need for attention, which can become competitive. The need for attention becomes very strong and continues into adulthood. So, we're all out here battling with each other on a constant basis. You know, I'm right and you're wrong, but no, I've said it, and I'm doing it this way, but and you're doing it the wrong way. The outside dream hooks our attention and teaches us what to believe, beginning with the language we speak. Okay? So, you were born speaking English because you were hooked into speaking English because what? You were hooked into it because that was the only way you were going to be able to communicate with the people you were hooked to, is to speak the language that they were speaking. Or you would probably go hungry, you know?
Right.
You probably wouldn't get anything to eat. You probably wouldn't get any attention because they wouldn't know what you were talking about. Because so the first thing they do is they hook us into the language. Remember that book, that book review we did on the language codes? Oh, that show was interesting. And this feeds right into that. The words we use create our reality. Language is the code for understanding and communication between humans. Every letter, every word, and each language is an agreement. Once we understand the code, our attention is hooked and the energy is transferred from one person to another. And as children, we didn't have the opportunity to choose our beliefs, but we agreed with the information that was passed to us from the dream of the planet through other humans. That's a deep thing. The only way to store information is by agreement. Now, when somebody tells you something, you can agree to accept what it is that they're saying, or you can agree to, like, say, I'm not going to believe that, going about your business, which means you agree not to believe that. And why do you agree not to believe that? Because you have already agreed to believe it the way you're believing it from the way you heard it from someplace else. As soon as we agree, we believe it. And this is called faith. To have faith is to believe unconditionally. Now, that's how we learn as children. Children believe everything adults say. The result is surrender to the beliefs with our agreement. Now, this gentleman, Don Miguel Ruiz, calls this process the domestication of humans. That's deep. And that reminds me of The Matrix. Remember in The Matrix where all the humans were attached to these machines, and the machines were domesticating them because the machines needed to feed on them? That was in The Matrix. So that's what that reminds me of, the domestication of humans. And through this domestication, we learn to live and how to dream. And we also learn to judge. We judge ourselves, judge other people, and judge the neighbors. We train our children, whom we love, the same way we train any domesticated animal. Now, Jewel, that's really a harsh way of saying it. You know, that's harsh. We domesticate our children the same way we domesticate animals, with a system of punishment and reward. When we went against the rules, we were punished. When we went along with the rules, we got a reward. Soon we became afraid of being punished and also afraid of not receiving the reward. The reward is the attention that we got from others. We soon developed a need to hook up people's attention in order to get the reward. This book is really fascinating. This is the book. With the fear of being punished and that fear of not getting the reward, we start pretending to be what we are not, just to please others, just to be good enough for someone else. We are afraid of being rejected. The fear of being rejected becomes the fear of not being good enough. Eventually, we become someone that we are not. All our normal tendencies are lost in the process of this domestication. Wow. The domestication is so strong that at a certain point in our life, we no longer need anyone to domesticate us. It's like that example they give you of the elephant. There's an elephant standing there, and in the beginning, because the elephant is huge, you put this huge metal chain wrapped around the elephant's leg, and the elephant tries to get away, and the elephant tries to get away, and finally the elephant realizes it can't get loose from this chain, this huge link chain around its big, huge leg. And it gets so that the elephant becomes conditioned that now all you have to do is put a little limp rope around the elephant's leg, and the elephant just knows it can't go anywhere when it really could go somewhere. But it is so domesticated, so conditioned by having been chained up, that now all you have to do is put a little rope around his leg, and he just stands there because he thinks he can't go anywhere. So, are you still out there? Am I talking too much, or what's going on? I don't even hear you breathing.
I am out here. I'm out here, and I'm listening to what you're talking about. And, you know, it has a lot. It touches on a lot of situations, you know, when you say domesticated and, you know, the whole pet thing that hits something. Because I was thinking about, you know, the little child going to the bathroom, you know, you try to domesticate your child to go to the bathroom, you domesticate your animal to go to the bathroom, and it's just like, wow, that was deep, you know? You do. You domesticate your child to eat properly, you tell your dog to eat wow, that is deep. So I'm just listening. And I'll speak when it's my turn to speak, because I'm channeling right now, and when you channel, you'll speak. I'll say, knock, knock, Duchess, I need to speak on that. So go ahead. I'm getting ready.
You know, the thought, we are so well trained that we become our own domesticator. We can now domesticate ourselves according to the same belief system we were given and using the same punishment and reward. And then there's that inner judge. The inner judge uses what Don Miguel Ruiz in his book says, the inner judge uses what is in our book of law to judge everything we do and don't do, everything we think and don't think, everything we feel and don't feel. Everything lives under this judge, this inner judge. there is another part of us that receives the judgment, and this part is called the victim. The victim carries the blame, the guilt, and the shame. Our childhood beliefs are based on a belief system that we never chose, to believe. These beliefs are, we didn't choose to believe them. They just happened. Because the beliefs are so strong that even years later, when we are exposed to new concepts and try to make our own decisions, we find that these beliefs still control our lives. You know, like when we did our show on religion versus spirituality, there are a lot of people that have been so caught up in their religion, and not to say that religion is wrong, but they're so caught up in their religion that they don't realize, or they cannot come along when you say that you're spiritual and you are an aspect of God incarnate. It's like, oh my gosh, that's blasphemous. Because how dare you say that I'm an aspect of God in flesh? I am God. God is me, you know? I mean, and so you get real caught up and you become fearful because you're caught up in your domestication that you don't realize that you can think a different way even if you choose to go back to where you were. You can explore other ways of thinking. So breaking the rules of the book of law opens some of your emotional wounds. Even if the book is wrong, it makes you feel safe. Our belief system is the book of laws that rules our personal dream. So, you know, for him to express this in his book, even this is beginning to make sense because all these laws exist in our mind. We believe them. And the judge inside us bases everything on these rules. True justice is paying only once for each mistake. True injustice is paying more than once for each mistake. Now, when he makes this statement, this is something that people might want to hear again. True justice is paying only once for each mistake. True injustice is paying more than once for each mistake. The human is the only animal on earth that pays 1,000 times for the same mistake. How many times do you punish yourself because, here we go, you want to go and get that muffin?
No, you didn't. Holy cow. We are our, oh my goodness, I know you did not go there.
How many times do you just beat up on yourself and punish yourself?
Yes.
All the time. As soon as your thought goes there, it's like, shame on you, Jewel. Why are you thinking about that?
Yes.
Okay, every time.
Or my mind totally changes everything and makes it okay. You know what I'm saying? I am my worst judge. And we do. We beat ourselves up all the time. Okay.
Every time we remember a mistake. I mean, how many times do you remember something that you did 2 years ago and you regret that you did it? We judge ourselves again and we are guilty again. You did this 2 years ago. Why are you making yourself feel guilty about it again? And we punish ourselves again and again and again and again. You know, this lady came to visit me a week ago. She came to visit me. She may listen to this show. But she came to visit me. I hopped in her car. I drove her down my street. I rode with her. I showed her where to park. I showed her my visitor parking. And her car was towed. And even though it was an unjust tow, because when the contractors redid our whole parking area, they neglected to re-stemple the word visitor in those parking spaces. So we were able to get her money back.
But do you know that I am still thinking about how I told her to park there and her car was towed, and
so
how much money she had to come
for that?
Absolutely. That's
wow.
Human. We do that to ourselves. We let stuff
yes.
go. And I guess the reason why I can't let it go is because I mailed her the check that was reimbursed. I mailed it on the 12th. She only lives 45 minutes from my house. How come she hasn't gotten it yet? Today is the 17th. You know, and I'm glad I mailed it certified. So, but every time I go online, and I mean I'm online 2 and 3 and 4 times a day because I'm really feeling guilty over this. You know, the judge has really got me, and, you know, I hope she believes that I mailed the money. You know, so the judge is beating up on me because she hasn't gotten it yet. But it's stuck somewhere in Maryfield, Virginia, and it's been there since the 13th of November, just sitting there, and it's saying it's departed. But departed and went where?
Right.
She hasn't gotten it yet. So, you know, humans punish themselves endlessly for not being what they believe they should be. You know, how many times do we make our spouse, our children, or our parents pay for the same mistake? I mean, the judge in the mind is wrong because the belief system, the book of law is wrong. 95% of the beliefs we have stored in our mind are nothing but lies, Don Miguel Ruiz writes. And we suffer because we believe all these lies. Every human has his or her personal dream. And just like the society dream, it is often ruled by fear. The same fears manifest in different ways for each person, but we experience anger, jealousy, hate, envy, and other negative emotions. We have learned to live our life trying to satisfy other people's demands. We have learned to live by other people's points of view. Because of the fear of not being accepted and of not being good enough for someone else. So, like he says, we humans punish ourselves endlessly for not being what? We believe we should be.
We punish ourselves for not being good enough. You know, and it's us that punish ourselves. I mean, it's not even the outside world. And we punish ourselves for not being good enough. And that's sad.
Right. That is very sad. Because if we believe that we are our creator and our creator is us, then we are perfect. And a lot of people say, you ain't perfect. Well, if we are in our creator's image, you know, then why aren't we? We aren't perfect because we think we're not perfect. The more self-love we have, the less we will experience self-abuse. There are thousands of agreements you have made with yourself, with other people, with your dream of life, with God even, with society, with your parents, with your spouse, with your children. But the most important agreements are the ones you made with yourself. In these agreements, you tell yourself who you are, what you feel, what you believe, and how to behave. If you want to live a life of joy and fulfillment, you have to find the courage to break those agreements that are fear-based and claim your personal power. Our personal power dissipates by all those agreements we have created. And the result is that we feel powerless. How powerless do we feel? We don't feel, you know, like we have very much power, but we have a great deal of power. If we can see it is our agreements which rule our life, and we don't like the dream of our life, we need to change the agreement. You know, that old create your own reality. When we are finally ready to change our agreement, there are four very powerful agreements that will help us break those agreements that come from fear and deplete our energy. If you adopt these four new agreements, they will create enough personal power for you to change the entire system of your old agreement. Ready, Jules? Mm-hmm. If you can begin to live your life with these agreements, the transformation in your life will be amazing. So let's see what these four agreements are. And why don't we see how Don Miguel Ruiz unfolds these agreements. The first agreement, be impeccable with your word. Impeccable. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of the word in the direction of truth and love. I heard someone say at a meeting the other day that she had to learn how to, she put it this way, quote, say what I mean without being mean. Now, that's something that I need to practice doing. Saying what I mean without being mean when I say it. Because you know me, I'll bite you. I say what I mean, but sometimes it comes out sounding real mean. The first agreement is the most important one and also the most difficult one to honor. It is very, very powerful. Through the word, you express your creative power. It is through the word that you manifest everything. Like we say, thoughts are things, and the word are your thoughts manifest. It is through the word that you manifest everything. What you dream, what you feel, what you really are. The word is a force. It is the power you have to express and communicate, to think, and thereby to create the events in your life. But like a sword edges, your word can create the most beautiful dream, or your word can destroy everything around you.
I see that.
So what?
I see. I want to say something to the first agreement. Like you say, that you speak, and sometimes you can speak, and you may sound mean. With this first agreement, I read this over and over and over again, and what happens to me is when I speak against myself, and that's something that I do. You say, when I speak, I talk mean about myself. I cannot look in the mirror and say, you know what, girl, you are so beautiful. People say, oh, my goodness, Jules, you are pretty. I don't see that. I speak against myself, and the more I speak against myself, the more I feel, you know, the more I feel. So this is something that I need to work on also.
Right. Right, because your word is powerful. And how you speak that word can change a life, which is yours or anybody else's, or destroy the lives of millions of people. And in his book, he gives the example of Hitler's word, based on fear-generated beliefs and agreements, will be remembered for centuries. What about parents? Parents and siblings gave their opinions about us without even thinking.
Right. We believed these opinions, and we lived in fear over these opinions, like not being good, like not being good at something. You know, you're not good at math. Oh, that's
that
a shame, Jules. You just don't know how to do math, you know. We're going to have to
get
you to.
Because our parents is
your
law.
Right. You'll never get that. So, I don't understand. By hooking our attention, the word can enter our mind and change a whole belief for better or worse. He gives an example where you may believe you are stupid, and you may have believed this for a long time, for as long as you can remember, and then someone comes along and says, stupid, you're one of the most smartest people that I know, and you just start feeling good because it just changed your whole outlook about yourself. But then somebody comes along, yeah, right. There's no such thing as you being the smartest person, anybody, because you really are. Look at that thing you did. That was stupid. And because you were so conditioned at feeling stupid, you go right back to being stupid in your own mind. No matter what somebody said to make you feel good about yourself, because you held yourself as being stupid for so long, you're going to believe the first person that comes along and say, yeah, right, yeah, you're stupid.
That is
okay?
True. That is so
you
true.
You believe what that person says. And you go back to the old agreement. So, impeccability means without sin. This is what it means to Mr. Dong Rui. It means without sin. A sin is anything that you do goes against yourself. Being impeccable is not going against yourself. That's what you were talking about, Jules. Not going against yourself. You take responsibility for your actions, but you do not judge or blame yourself. I do that a lot. Sometimes I'll take responsibility for myself without judging myself because I know that that was not something that was done intentional. And sin begins with rejection of yourself. Self-rejection is the biggest sin that you can commit. If I love myself, I will express that love in my interactions with you, and then I am being impeccable with the word because that action will produce a like action. If I love you, then you will love me. Being impeccable with your word, correct use of your energy. It means to use our energy in the direction of truth and love for yourself. If you make an agreement with yourself to be impeccable with your word, just with that intention, the truth will manifest through you and clean all the emotional poison that exists within you. But making this agreement is difficult because we have learned to do precisely the opposite. Whoa. And that's heavy. That's heavy. We must begin to understand that the word is what the word is and what the word does. If you understand the first agreement, be impeccable with your word, you begin to see all the changes that can happen in your life. Changes first in the way you deal with yourself and later in the ways you deal with other people, especially those you love the most. If we adopt the first agreement and become impeccable with our word, any emotional poison will eventually be clean from our mind and from our communication and our personal relationship. Impeccability of the word will also give you immunity from anyone putting a negative spell on you. You will receive a negative idea if your mind is fertile ground for negative ideas. Okay,
How do you measure the impeccability of your word? You can measure it by the level of self-love. How much you love yourself and how you feel about yourself is directly proportionate to the quality and integrity of your word. When you are impeccable with your word, you feel good. You feel happy. And you feel at peace. It is up to you to make this agreement with yourself. I am impeccable with my word. You notice how this says this over and over and over again? And we have to say things over and over and over again in order for us to change our old agreement. You have to, like he said, the old agreements were from repetition, over and over and over again. So now if you're going to change those agreements to these new agreements, you got to say it over and over and over again. Okay, it's up to you to make this agreement with yourself. I am, is that I am impeccable with my words. You nurture this seed, and as it grows in your mind, it will generate more seeds of love to replace the seeds of fear. This first agreement will change the kind of seeds your mind is fertile for. Be impeccable with your word. This is the first agreement that you should make if you want to be free, if you want to be happy. Use the word to share your love, beginning with yourself. Use the word to break all those teeny tiny agreements that make you suffer. Impeccability of the word can lead you to personal freedom, to huge success and abundance. It can take away all fear and transform it into joy and love. Be impeccable with your word. The next agreement.
I'm going to tell you the next agreement. I need to read this one over and over and over again.
And a lot of people I know need to read this over and over and over again. And I wish my board was lit up with their phone numbers. Don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. As a matter of fact, it's not about you. It's not even about you. As a matter of fact, I heard someone in AA say, what other people think about me is none of my business. It's like, because it's not about me, it's about them and the way they are thinking. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream, okay? What you are immune to, or when you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. You know, I've had people want to jump down my throat. And what happened was, in them doing this, if I take it personally, I mean, I would go a rake crush. So the next three agreements are really born from the first agreement. The second agreement is don't take anything, well, once again, we're talking about the second agreement, don't take anything personally. Personal importance. Or taking things personally is the maximum expression of selfishness. I love this book. Because we make the assumption that everything is about me. During the period of our domestication, I like that word too, we learn to take everything personally. We think we are responsible for everything. Nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. Even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. The opinions they give are according to the agreements they have in their own mind. Their point of view becomes, their point of view comes from all the programming they received during their domestication. I almost got that all mixed up. When you take things personally, then you feel offended, and your reaction is to defend your belief and create conflict. You make something big out of something so little because you have the need to be right and make everybody else feel wrong. You also try hard to be right by giving them your own opinion. Whenever you feel or whenever you don't feel, let's say whatever you feel and do is just a projection of your own personal dream, a reflection of your own agreement. How about we say it like that? It is not important to me what you think about, and I don't take what you think personally. I know what I am. I don't have the need to be accepted. Others are going to have their own opinion according to their belief system, so nothing they think about me is really about me. I said that to someone one day, and I think it just made them more angry to them. You know, I really think, are you trying to insult me? Are you trying to make me feel bad? And this person said, yeah, well, you should feel bad. And I said, well, I don't. Well, they said, how are you going to tell me you love me, you love? And I said, well, just because you feel the way you feel about me doesn't mean that I have to change the way I feel about you. So it's a life game. People will want you to feel the way they want you to feel, so we can't take things personally. Whatever people do, feel, think, or say, don't take it personally. If they tell you how wonderful you are, they are not saying that because of you. You should already know you're wonderful. It is not necessary to believe other people who tell you that you are wonderful. You should already know that you are wonderful. Even the opinions you have about yourself are not necessarily true. Therefore, you don't need to take whatever you hear in your own mind personally. Just know that it is. There may be times when you have ideas that don't originate in your mind, but you are perceiving them with your mind. We have a choice whether or not to believe the voices we hear within our own minds, just as we have a choice of what to believe and agree with in the dream of this whole entire planet. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff going on TV, you know, with politicians and all kinds of stuff. We don't bring politics in the show. But I'm going to tell you, I turn off my TV because I really don't care to hear the opinion of others. I really don't. I mean, I know what I desire for me to listen to, for me to believe. I may feel that the whole earth is, you know, filled with this feminine vibration going on. So as long as it looks like it's masculine energy taking over and overpopulating and messing stuff up for me, is messing. Well, then I know that, you know, it's taking a little bit longer for the feminine energy to take hold. And so I just turn off TV. I mean, I just turn off the TV. So how do you feel about things like that, Jules, turning off the TV when things just don't resonate with you? You know?
Well, I think the same thing, but like my mother said to me once, How are you going to know what's going on if you don't watch what's going on? So she always calls me and says, you need to turn on your TV or you're not going to recognize what's going on. So sometimes I do have to watch the ugly in the world, and it is quite ugly. So I got to do what I got to do sometimes.
That's true. I understand that. I understand that thoroughly, and we don't want to walk around, you know, blind, deaf, blind, and, you know, dumb. We want to know what's going on in the world, but in my world, I turn it on. If the same old stuff is going on that was going on yesterday, I turn it right off. It's like, you can't show me something new? Well, then I don't need to hear this stuff over and over and over and over. There are some people that sit in front of the TV and watch the same stuff over and over and over again, you know, until it just bombards their brain. And rather than them, you know, like moving on and finding out another opinion of what's going on, they're just watching the same stuff over and over again until it just feeds the uglies in their brain.
Turn that stuff off
and give your brain a break.
That's not cool. That is not cool. And this second agreement, I really, really need to really take, not personally, but I really need to learn also, because just a couple of days ago, I had a phone call, and this woman was really, 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 really ugly to me, and I took it personally. I took it so personally that I just cried and cried and cried, and the first person you always want to call is your mother. And so you call your mother, and you talk to your mother, and you have to be aware that she may not have understood where she's coming from. And I had to say, you know what, that's not who I am. I'm not going to take this personally. And a lot of people out there have the same feelings that I do. And this is why we are talking about inside matters, because, you know, your inside, what goes on in your heart matters to us. And so if you feel like you don't want to take things personally, like we are trying to learn how not to take things personally, just give us a call. We would love to hear from you at 347-324-3030. And if you want to talk to Duchess or I about what matters to you, you know, just press the number one, and we can talk. You know, we can sit down and we can talk, and we know we can get that off your chest, so you won't have to walk around with the ugly inside of your heart either. So we
right.
I had to make sure this woman did not affect me in that way and not make me want to go out there and get that banana nut muffin. I kept my abstinence, and you know, I'm almost 7 days into my abstinence, so I did not let
you.
That affect me. So thank you,
good
mom, out
you.
There for helping me out. So.
You've been thanking your mom a lot tonight. Whoa.
Yes, that's
my,
on my gratitude list. She's on my gratitude list.
Well, this is still the second agreement. He has a lot to say in his book about these agreements. And I like how he says when you make it a strong habit not to take anything personally, you avoid many aspects in your life. You avoid anger, jealousy, and envy. All that will disappear. And even your sadness will simply disappear if you don't take things personally. You can see how important this agreement is. Taking nothing personally helps you to break many habits and routines that trap you in the dream of hell and cause needless suffering. You know, I got annoyed with my old mother the other day. I mean, I called her up and she snapped at me, and it was like, whoa. It's like, hello, don't you know where I'm going? And I was like, whoa, no, I live in Virginia. I don't know what's going on up in New York and Rhode Island. I really don't, you know. So I took it personally. I know she wasn't upset with me, but I took it personally. So just by practicing this second agreement, you begin to break dozens of teeny tiny agreements that cause you to suffer. And if you practice the first two agreements, you will break 75% of the teeny tiny agreements that keep you trapped. As you make a habit of not taking anything personally, you will only need to trust yourself to make responsible choices. That's a lot, 75%. So I guess the next two agreements are going to just wrap it up. Okay? Oh, I like this one. Okay, so we got an impeccable word. We don't take things personally. So now this is a big one for people to just kind of rewrite. Don't make assumptions. Please don't make assumptions. First, the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. You have to find that courage, okay? Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. You know how many people, you know, walk around, somebody tells them X, Y, and Z, and they just assume? They assume, making ASS out of you. This one agreement, you can completely transform your life. I guess all we need is one agreement, and we'll transform our life. And we just use one agreement. It's going to transform our life. We have our tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. Whenever we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. We make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole world of control between humans is about making assumptions and taking things personally. Because we are afraid to ask for clarification, we make assumptions, and we believe we are right, the assumption. Then we defend our assumptions and try to make someone else wrong. It is always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering, you know?
Right.
Assumptions. You know, that's like I was telling, you know how I always tell people plan the party but not the outcome? So you plan the party and you're going to assume that 50 people are going to show up. So you're going to prepare for 50 people, and your assumption is that you sent out 50 invitations, 50 people are going to show. Don't do that. Don't set yourself up for that. Plan the party, not the outcome. If you don't plan the outcome, don't be assuming 50 people are coming, and if only 15 people come, you're still going to have a party. You're going to have a good time. You may have a lot of leftovers, but then those 15 people can take leftovers home with them. Have a party, you know? So it is always better to ask questions, you know, and you call up behind yourself. Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? And still don't assume that all those people that said they were coming are going to come. All right?
Knock, knock, Duchess. This is a good one, too, and I understand. Jules, how you doing? To some people, it's very scary to ask questions. You know, to some people out there, it's very scary, just like, you know, the mean person that calls you up on the phone and you need to clarify, why did you treat me so horribly? It's very scary to ask questions. But like Duchess says, if you don't ask questions, all you're going to do is hurt yourself because, like she said, you're going to sit there and you're going to wonder why. What did I do? I didn't mean to be a horrible person. Is there something that I did to hurt her? Is there something that I did to harm her? Maybe I talked about her child or something. You know, you're always going to sit there and assume that you did something when you didn't do anything. All you did was be you. So like Duchess said, even though it's scary to ask questions, do not assume. Get the heart, go for it, and ask your question. And if they don't respond,
you know what you did?
At least you asked your question.
You know what you did?
What did I do?
Whatever that person said to you that you need clarification on, if it hurt your feelings, then you took it personally.
Mm.
You took it personally.
I see. Okay.
Now,
okay.
To me, this don't make assumptions is someone tells me that they want me to meet them at the mall. And because she and I always went to the JCPenney side of the mall, I'm going to assume that that's where she is going to meet me at. She may be meeting me at the mall, you know, say at the other end, or she may be meeting me at the shoe store. And so I get to the JCPenney thing because that's where we always met. So now I've assumed. And that may be a flaky example, but what I'm trying to say is, what I'm trying to say is, in making an assumption, it's as though I could assume that my next door neighbor left her clothes in the washing machine on purpose. On purpose, because she always does anyway, and you know, and she just, and I assume that she just forgot this time. But in my assuming that she forgot this time, I'm taking them out, and she'll be upstairs to get them. She may have gone to the emergency room, to the hospital. Here it is, I took her clothes out and didn't even bother. That may be a flaky example too. Well. Let everybody,
I kind of liked mine better, but that's okay. Mine was the same. I mean,
let everybody read this or hear this and fit this into their own agreement, in their own world, and in their own domestication as they feel they want to. How about that?
Okay,
I think that's the most
like
wonderful
that.
Way for everybody out there listening. To let this mean to you what you decide you want it to mean to you, all right?
Okay.
And let me stop assuming I can give you a proper definition of what Don Ruiz is saying to me.
Okay.
So, once again, it's always better to ask questions than to make an assumption. It would be nice if people call in at area code 347-324-3030 to tell me so I can ask you a question as to how this reads for you. What does this feel to you? You know, in any kind of relationship, we can make the assumption that others know what we think. See, I've been making that assumption all night, huh? And we don't have to say what we want. They are going to do what we want because they know us so well. Or if they don't do what we want, what we assume they should do, we feel hurt. A whole drama is created because we make this assumption and then put more assumptions on top of it. Uh-huh. Just because it's your birthday and Cassie knows that you like muffins, don't assume that she's going to buy you one for your birthday.
Oh, see, there you go again.
When she doesn't buy you a muffin, you're going to be very upset with her because she knows that you want her to buy you this muffin that you're not supposed to have, okay? But if
see, that's not even right because I'm supposed to have abstinence. That just, she knows better. Like, don't you buy me no muffins because I will totally gorge into
all right.
them. Okay.
Well, the human mind needs to justify everything, to explain and understand everything in order to feel safe. We have millions of questions that need answers because there are so many things that the reasoning mind can't explain. It is not important if the answer is correct. Just the answer itself makes us feel safe. This is why we make assumptions. Even if we hear something and we don't understand, we make assumptions about what it means and then believe the assumptions. We make all sorts of assumptions because we don't have the courage to ask questions. These assumptions are made so fast and unconsciously most of the time because we have agreements to communicate this way. We have agreed that it is not safe to ask questions. We have agreed that if people love us, they should know what we want or how we feel. When we believe something, we assume we are right about it to the point that we will destroy relationships in order to defend our position. We make the assumption that everyone sees life the way we do. We assume that others think the way we think, feel the way we feel, judge the way we judge, and abuse the way we abuse. This is the biggest assumption that humans make. You know what? There are times when I have been treated a particular way by a particular person because they're treating me the way they think I am because they are that way. Mm. Can you understand that?
Yes. Wow.
I can't, you know what? I can, ooh, that annoys me because I know that I am impeccable with my word. But other people know that they're not. So how they treat me is how they would treat themselves because they know that they're not impeccable with their word. So they go around treating you the way they know they are. Has that ever happened to you? Because I'm not like,
yes.
You know, it's like, I'm not like that. So why are you treating me like that? Oh,
right.
Because you're like that. So you just assume that I'm like that. Can't stand. And I get in trouble with that on the flip side. I am like, I'm honest. I really am. I'm honest. And so I just assume everybody thinks like me, feels like me, loves like me, is an empath like me. I mean, I get in trouble all the time because people do things to me that I would never do to them. And I get hurt by this. How can people be like this? It hurts. And so I have to stop assuming that everybody's like me.
Now,
Everybody was
a good one. That assumption was a good one. You have to stop assuming that everyone is like you. Now, that is not flaky. You hit it on the head. I like that one, Duchess. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. You got it now.
That was so close to home because that is so... That is so what happens in my life, and I'm told that all the time. You know what? That was unrealistic, you know? I mean, for you to feel that way, you know, because everybody's not like you. Everybody doesn't
right.
treat things the way you do. Everybody isn't you. Everybody's not like you. And I just assume that everybody is or should be. Let me shut up before I mess it up.
Okay. Let's move on.
Well, he goes on to give an example. Just imagine the day you stop making assumptions with your partner and eventually with everyone else in your life. Your way of communicating will change completely, and your relationships will no longer suffer from conflicts by mistaken assumptions. The way to keep yourself from making assumptions is to ask questions, make sure the communication is clear, have the courage to ask questions until you are clear as you can be, and then do not assume you know all there is to know about a given situation. Once you hear the answer, you will not have to make assumptions because you will know the truth. Without making assumptions, your word becomes impeccable with clear communications, or your relationships will change. Becoming aware of these habits and understanding the importance of disagreement is the first step that will neatly make a difference. What will neatly make a difference is action. So, how are we doing here with time?
Well, we do have 14 minutes, and I know that
well,
you would like to get to the last agreement. So you want to move on, or do you have some more on this one?
Nope. We're moving on. Always do your best.
Okay.
This is the fourth agreement. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy, excuse me, as opposed to sick. Under any circumstances, do your best, and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. This agreement allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. The fourth agreement is about the action of the first three. Always do your best. Keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Your best will sometimes be high quality, and other times it will not be as good. Your best will also change over time. As you build the habit of the four agreements, your best will become better than it used to be. Any circumstance of your life, if you always do your best, then there is no way you can judge yourself. And if you don't judge yourself, there is no way you are going to suffer from guilt, blame, and self-punishment. By always doing your best, you will break a big spell that you have been under. Doing your best, you are going to live your life intensely. When you always do your best, you will take action. Doing your best is taking the action because you love it, not because you're expecting a reward. If you take action just for the sake of doing it without expecting a reward, you will find that you enjoy every action you do. Rewards will come, but you are not attached to the reward. If we like what we do, if we always do our best, then we are really enjoying life. We are having fun. We don't get bored, and we don't have frustrations. It is not an easy agreement to keep, but this agreement is really going to set you free. And I believe that. I mean, I enjoy my job at UPS. I enjoy it. I really enjoy my drivers. I enjoy my dirty packages. I enjoy the customers. I enjoy my job. So although
and where do you work with all that dirty stuff? Sorry, I had to go there.
In a warehouse. You know?
Okay.
But I enjoy what I do. I love it. And so even though it's hard grunt work, and beating up on my body, enjoy what I do. And I do the best. And they have told me I am the best clerical person that they have because I enjoy my job. Mm-hmm. I hear people complaining about their job. So if you complain about your job, how are you putting forth your best if you really are complaining about it? You know?
Right.
So it is not an easy agreement to keep, this doing your best, but this agreement is really going to set you free. When you do your best, you learn to accept yourself. But you have to be aware and learn from your mistakes. Learning from your mistakes means you practice. Look honestly at the results and keep practicing. This increases your awareness. Taking action is being alive. It's taking the risk to go out and express your dream. The first three agreements will only work if you do your best. By doing your best, the habits of misusing your word, taking things personally, and making assumptions will become weaker and less frequent with time. If you do your best always, over and over again, you will become a master of transformation. Everything you have ever learned You learn through repetition. Action is what makes the difference. If you break an agreement, begin again tomorrow and again the next day. Someday you will discover that you are ruling your life with these four agreements. Just live one day at a time and stay in the present moment. The Toltec Path to Freedom, Breaking Old Agreements. To be Toltec is a way of life. It is a way of life where there are no leaders and no followers, where you have your own truth and live your own truth. There are three masteries that lead people to become Toltec. First is the mastery of awareness. This is to be aware of who you really are with all the possibilities. The second is the mastery of transformation, how to change, how to be free of domestication. The third is the mastery of intent. Intent, from the Toltec point of view, is that part of life that makes transformation of energy possible. It is the one living being that seamlessly encompasses all energy, or what we call God or our higher power. Intent is life itself. It is unconditional love. The mastery of intent is therefore the mastery of love. Our recommendation is that this is a tiny little big that can make a difference, a big difference, in how you view and treat yourself and others. So that's it. Read the four agreements. Get the book. Read it. This is the show over and over again. Because I just read most of it.
Live by it.
Yeah, it's a good diet to live by. It is. Four agreements. And how I did this, a friend of mine said, he just quoted on Facebook one day, and he says, you know, I live by the four agreements, you know. My word is impeccable, you know, that kind of thing. He said, I don't take things personally. And I don't go around, he's really, I don't go around assuming things. And I do my best every day. And I said, whoa, I wish I could do that, you know, but I take things personally all the time. You know, I do my best, but I take things personally. And he said, evidently, you've never read the Four Agreements. Would you like to read the Four Agreements? You know, I can loan you my book. It's an easy read. It's a short read. And I went online, and I said, whoa, I don't need to borrow your book. I got it. I'm going to read it. I think I'll do a show around it. So,
wonderful.
Thank you, Don Miguel Ruiz, and thank you, Dr. Barr, for your excerpts on the book. I really appreciate it, and so did Jules. So do we have time for an animal call? We got 6 minutes, and I'm not going to be talking when our, no, I think we're going to do an angel.
Okay, let's do an angel.
We're going to do an angel, because my granddaughter had the, divine timing. Okay, everyone, divine timing. The angels want you to know about divine timing. Pay attention to doors that are opening and shutting for you right now. Walk through doors that open and learn from the doors that shut. Your prayers are being answered. There is no doubt about that. However, everything operates according to the universal laws of divine timing. This means that certain pieces of the puzzle must first fall into place so that other parts can come to fruition. If you try or rush certain pieces or parts, the whole plan will lack a solid foundation. Don't try to force open any doors that appear closed to you. Instead, ask your angels for guidance to see if the door closed because of negative expectations, or if it's simply a sign of divine timing, look for other doors that do open and walk through them with faith and gratitude. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in closing, I just want to say thank you to Akasha Bird. She did a wonderful reading for me yesterday at about noon. That's when her show comes on, Divine, Inner Divinity. And it was wonderful because all of the guides and thoughts and the Hathors and all of the energy that was around her just sent me lots of love. They said they love me, love me, love me, love me. And I needed all that love and energy. So, Jules, before time is up, I'm going to say goodnight, and I'm going to let you say the last word, and I'm off until the next time. All righty. Yours, Jules.
All right. I just want to say I love everyone out there that listens to our show, and though you don't call in, I know that you're still out there giving us love, light, and a lot of laughter. I want you to know out there, have a happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving. And those out there that don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I just want to let you know that our peace and love will still be around you. And I'm just loving everything about this year, and I've had a wonderful year. So I love my show, I love my mother, I love my partner, and you guys out there, thank you for entertaining us on Inside Matters. Gotcha. Thank you.